Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It's life under lockdown here at the Council of Trent podcast. A lot of us in California are under lockdown. Maybe you are too. By the time you're listening to this, I think I'm pretty sure by the time this airs or in the next few days, there won't be mass celebrated probably anywhere here in the United States. I've seen people online slowly blacking out the different dioceses in our country where mass is not being celebrated. And it's like the darkness is encroaching on our nation. But we have the light. We have the light of Christ. And we have two wonderful lights that are joining us today here for the show to commiserate and for all of us to put our heads together and see how we can live out life under lockdown, under pandemics, under all kinds of things that the devil may throw at us. As a wise woman once said, I will survive, you will survive, we will survive. This is the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. My guests today are Jackie and Bobby Angel. Jackie is a singer, songwriter, was signed with Spirit and Song back in 2006, released two albums, Your Kingdom is Glorious and Divine Comedy. She's traveled to 40 states and five continents. That traveling has come to an end, though, right now, which we'll talk about here on the show. She is married to Bobby Angel. Together, they are the Angels, which I alluded to earlier yesterday. What a wonderful thing to be. Bobby is a teacher. He's a campus minister and theology teacher at an all-boys Catholic high school. And they are with us to talk about life under lockdown. Bobby and Jackie, welcome to the Council of Trent podcast.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
We are social distancing. Just if people, you know, we are at least 6 feet away.
I was telling Bobby when he came in, I want to build an apparatus, like a large hula hoop. Imagine a large hula hoop that is like 12 feet in diameter with like suspenders that I wear over my shoulders.
Somebody did that. Did you not see the picture of that guy?
Someone's done it.
They had this hula hoop thing. So he was like on the way to the grocery store. He literally had the hula hoop thing with the suspenders thing, and so people wouldn't get within his space.
Because here's the thing,
he didn't patent it fast enough.
Trent. Right. Any idea that anybody thinks of, someone else has thought of it. Like, to make a parody song, My Corona. Come on, somebody did that in like 10 minutes, I think.
I was singing that the other day, actually, to my family.
Totally.
My Corona.
Yeah, I mean, anyone get a parody out like that. So, well, we are going to talk about it. Now, you got here early because there's nobody on the roads.
No.
Usually getting here from Anaheim to San Diego can be kind of bad.
You know, it can take 2 hours. This took an hour and a half. It was smooth sailing, and it was raining, too. So,
yeah.
That was amazing.
All right. So let's, on my previous episode on Tuesday, we talked about COVID-19, the debate about closing mass. Today, what I want to talk about is just for families and people who are listening, what they're going through right now, especially because for me, there's two things that make me anxious about this. One is that stupid little virus, as I referred to it in yesterday's episode, getting sick or getting other people sick. But honestly, the thing that gives me more anxiety sometimes are other people panicking. It's the panic. And I feel like one thing that's making people panic is that you can't spell pandemic without panic. Like, think about it. Like, when someone says, oh, we're experiencing a pandemic right now, did he say panic? Because it's panic is built right into the very word. So I think, I don't know what you guys are thinking, but that it's the other people freaking out that makes me and Laura and other people more anxious.
Yep. Last Thursday, when everything started closing, you know, it was like, everyone was like, okay, NBA is done. Everything, no March Madness. I told Bobby, I said, go fill up the car with some gas. Make sure you have a full tank. And I was like, could you go shopping today? And Bobby wasn't anxious until he went to the store.
What happened at the store?
Well, Thursday the 12th, March 12th, D-Day, you know, it felt like it was the day that broke the camel's back, because that was the day you started hearing about the sports announcements being canceled, NBA, the NHL, Disney shutting down. And we had school that day, but then the rumors were starting to fly and the students were talking about us, and we had an emergency meeting of the teachers after school where it's kind of like strongly heads up, like, hey, I think we're shutting down.
Yeah.
And it was just felt like, whoa, this thing went, for America at least, this thing went from zero to, or like 10 miles an hour to like 80.
Yeah, like that.
Very quickly. And so, and then Jackie sends me this text that says, go fill up your car with gas. And I'm like, really? And that gave me a little bit of urgency, like, uh-oh.
So between the two of you, Jackie, you're the one who gets more, like, concerned and prepped, and Bobby, you're more the one who's like, it'll be fine.
No, it's just I'm the one that's on Twitter. He's not. So I'm the one that's on Twitter. So I'm seeing all the news. And I have friends who are texting me who are like, we have friends who work for the government. So this is what the problem is. I have a lot of people texting me like, hey, we have friends who work at the Pentagon who are saying within the next blah, blah, blah. So I'm getting all the info. He's just at school. And it's funny because I'm homeschooling mom.
Right.
So I'm at home. And I'm fine until I go on social media. And when I was going on Twitter and Facebook, I'm like, oh, this is making me anxious. And then getting certain texts from friends.
Yeah.
From the outside world. Because again, we've been in containment our whole lives because we're homeschooled.
I have a friend who works at the Pentagon, whose name's Daryl. He works at the Starbucks there. But he knows stuff.
He knows.
But I had multiple people texting me, like not even the same friends, like different friends. So I told Bobby, I said, hey, go get some gas. Can you go to the store? Mm-hmm. And so you went to Walmart.
I went to Walmart and it wasn't like crazy in there, but there were a lot of people. For like 2 p.m. And sure enough, tuna is all gone.
Like the whole canned goods section.
Yeah, canned goods were ravaged. I didn't even attempt to look at the toilet paper situation.
But you went to baby. We needed baby wipes.
Oh, yeah. Their baby wipes were all gone. So it's eerie when you see these empty shelves and you feel people just agitation.
I was at Target the other night just getting little items here or there because we stocked up already a while ago, but I just went to just get little items and also out of a perverse sense of wondering what it's like. So I went, and the way I could summarize the attitude, I decided to go late at night. So I went at like 8 p.m. because I didn't want to deal with crowds. So it was, you know, not very crowded, but the way I could describe it is there was a palpable sense of dread.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was quiet and an eerie kind of quiet of just people shuffling, trying to take in that, like, yeah, because when I've been to stores now, fortunately some stockpiles are coming back, but the big things out were toilet paper, paper towels, canned goods, bread, eggs, frozen meats. There are a few things that always stick around though. Nobody wants chickpea pasta. You cannot give that away for free.
Cauliflower.
Here's a canned food that always shows up. Diced tomatoes. Oh. Nobody, or canned whole tomatoes. No, people would rather die than eat a tomato in a can.
Hey, I make salsa though from that. So like fresh salsa, so, like restaurant style salsa. So those people are missing out, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, I saw salsa. I think the chips were cleared, but so that's what I was saying.
But it is this, again, this thing we can't see. This enemy we can't see. And anyone who coughs is suddenly suspect.
You know? It's like we're looking at everybody like it's Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Yeah, are you one of them?
Do you have it?
Yeah. So then we're like keeping our distance from people. And that's not the attitude we should have. We should be prudent.
Right.
But we should also care about other people. And I think what's nice is this is a good time for us like to be able to show love to other people and charity to other people who are, you know, probably having difficulties. At least we'll talk about difficulties under lockdown here in a sec, but just even finding stuff. Like, I just feel so bad for people. Like in Oregon, there are people calling 911 because they're out of toilet paper.
Oh my gosh. I thought of formula, baby formula.
Yeah.
I have friends who I was like, oh my gosh, if you can't breastfeed and you're using formula,
yeah,
and people are stockpiling that. I was like, that would be so crazy to not be able to find that.
So that's why I think it'd be helpful, especially for churches or homeschool co-ops or other things like that, to do like a central server, a Google Doc where you can write down, hey, is anybody in need? Like I could really use wipes, or I could really use, and if you're listening, it might be a good idea for people to do. I've noticed now just today, stores seem to be doing a little better on inventory. Like Target had wipes today. So, I mean, it's toilet paper that we may not see for a long time, right. But
as if this is like an explosive diarrhea.
Yeah,
virus.
That's the weird thing. Everyone's like, what do I do? I better get toilet paper.
I just don't understand.
I love the meme. Back in my day, we had enough toilet paper to throw it in people's trees just to play jokes on them. And now it'd be like, what a waste.
What a wasteful generation.
I also just understand, like, we have a family of five, and we don't go through a big thing of toilet paper in a month. We don't go through a whole thing of toilet paper. So thankfully we got some before everybody was. But yeah, we might be in trouble in a month.
Here's what happened with us. So among Laura and I, and as our listeners know to past episodes, I am a quasi-prepper. I don't have a bunker. But I've done previous episodes of the podcast on how to survive disasters. So how to deal with wildfires, earthquakes, floods, unrest. And so I've had emergency supplies for things. I remember telling Laura, she's like, why do you need these supplies? Why do you need other giant things of toilet paper? I said, well, there could be a disaster. I said, or there could be social unrest and people could flood the store. She's like, that's not going to happen. And now Laura's like, the worst thing about this, Trent, is that all the crazy preppers now think that they're right about everything and we have to just yield to them.
Yeah, my dad is the kind of person. So my dad was a Green Beret in the Army. And he's the kind of guy that for Christmas always asks for like these
survival tools,
survival and, kits, and man.
Books and rope.
And we're like, what are you doing? But now, you know, hey,
he was right.
And I'm like, well, now all the Californians are actually prepared if we have an earthquake, like a big earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, what are you all thinking? Like, the power's going to go out from this virus. Like but now, hey, now Californians are actually prepared if we do have an earthquake.
Yeah, if something actually happens. Yeah. So on our end, what happened was by around the end of February, I was so before I was going to Australia, I could see by the end of February, this was serious, or it could get serious. So I told Laura, like, look, I'm going to be in Australia for nearly 2 weeks. I want to make sure you're taken care of before I get out of here. So let's go to the store and get medicine in case you get sick, or just supplies. When I went that day, the only thing I couldn't get was hand sanitizer. By that point, it was gone, but I had extra for my emergency kits.
That one dude had already bought the 17,000 bottles of them to sell on Amazon.
Matt Colvin. And you know what's hard for me? My gut instinct is that was a bad thing. He should not do that. It's depriving people of something they really need in a disaster. But the problem is I've read other studies on price gouging laws, like when you have laws saying you can't gouge people or charge more for something. But the problem is sometimes that disincentivizes people from taking risks to provide people things. So let's say you're going to get a bunch of generators and drive into an area destroyed by a hurricane. You're not going to do that if you can only sell a generator at its market cost. But that's a separate debate to have.
So,
but yeah,
hero or villain?
Well, nearly everyone, villain. Libertarians, hero. So, I mean, that is a separate debate to have. So here or there. But so we couldn't find that, but I had extra. But we were able to get other stuff. And then she had that. She's like, I don't think it's a big deal. I'm like, I'll just wait. And then when I come back from Australia, which is, mid-March where you were with your school, then things started getting out of hand. And so we managed to get groceries and things like that. But I remember, it was like a week ago I went to Trader Joe's just to get normal groceries that weren't in part of our run. And I got there at 8 a.m. I thought there might be a few people here. Streams of people coming in. And I'm like, I'm just going to get this pasta here so I don't have to come back.
It affects you.
Yeah, it gives you this anxiety. Yeah. You're like, I'm not going to panic. I'm going to, everyone thinks, okay, I'm going to not be the greedy person who hoards to help everyone else. Then when you get there, you're like, they don't have any more frozen Brussels sprouts. I got to get the last ones.
So you see the worst in humanity start to come out, but you also see the best.
You do
see kindness. And I think as Christians, this is where we can also be attentive to our neighbors, our physical neighbors,
right,
our neighbors who may be older that are also confused and can't get the supplies they need, and to check in with one another.
Absolutely.
We have other parent friends who have baby wipes and we don't, or other supplies, or again, parenting ideas of now these kids are home all day, which we're used to. We quarantine all the time with homeschooling.
What homeschooling is. Homeschooling is just quarantine. Homeschooling is where you just quarantine yourself from all of the social degenerates.
From life.
It's like, are you under lockdown? I've been under lockdown, ever since MTV debuted.
It's true. It's true. So we are prepared. The homeschoolers, we are prepared.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it's... For me, I wasn't panicked until I started going on social media.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is kind of scary. And
so maybe we need to take a break a little from that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's funny is I'm home every day and I'm in my pajamas pretty much every day, except for the two times a month I travel. But it's funny. But now being told to stay at home, I'm like, I'm feeling more nervous. And I'm like, I stay home all the time. But now that I'm being told I have to stay here, it's an interesting psychological thing.
Yeah. But what I've appreciated is the time now to be able to spend with the kids and with Laura, getting more of that time together. It's like there are a lot of silver linings for us to find. Like, okay, I get to have, this time together with them and just not worry about other things and just be here in this moment. Like I sat down and I was thinking like, I gotta get the store and get this or that. And I just sat with Matthew and I built his Legos. I'm like, no, I don't have to, I don't get to do this if I'm in the office a bunch. I'm going to build this Lego car with him. And maybe he'll remember that. And we'll always remember when the coronavirus hit and we stayed home and built Legos together. So I think it is giving people some of these moments they don't normally have or they don't normally appreciate.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, you know, some professions are still able to do from home. But, you know, a lot of people are suffering. A lot of people's jobs are suddenly not there or they're not going to be there. And so
how has it affected you guys?
I mean, we're, again, blessed in that the high school I work at, we've shifted to all online. And so whether these students wanted online classes or not, here it is. So it's kind of a good like college prep of like, here's how for some of you it's going to be. So now the discipline's on them to watch classes, and for us who aren't as tech savvy with the classroom materials to get tech savvy really quick.
Yeah.
And I feel for these students, seniors especially, who all their stuff, graduation, grad night, spring sports are now either canceled or up in the air. Who knows here? Like we have a couple athletes who were going to get scouted that, you know, now they're not going to be watched now. And so their college prospects are up in the air.
Don't worry. There's not going to be sports anyways. There's not going to be sports. There's not going to be ESPN. So ESPN was bought by Disney and Disney's stock has just tanked. Mm. It's possible. I've heard talks that Apple might try to do a hostile takeover of Disney Apple will own everything.
Yeah, they will.
This is their giant plan from the very beginning.
Take my money.
Oh my
right. Take my money. I saw someone using a Roomba and then a broom to like, emulate Canadian curling for some kind of sport.
Well, you got to get inventive to pass the time. Here's one that we did to pass the time. Because also you don't want to be stir crazy at home because you start to just go bananas if you're stuck at home. But you want to go out, but you're also supposed to practice social distancing, which people make fun of, but it's important because people wonder, you know, well, why are we doing that? And the whole point is to do something called to flatten the curve. And a lot of people don't know entirely what that is. But the idea is if this virus, which is more contagious than influenza, and it affects especially the elderly, it can be very severe for them. What health experts are saying is that it may be the case that just everybody or almost everybody gets this. But the goal is for everyone to not get it at once.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's kind of like if you go to a football game. If everybody goes to the bathroom at once, it's a disaster. But if we all go to the bathroom sequentially, it's fine. That's the thing with this disease. So if we distance each other, hopefully people will get it sequentially and then it won't overwhelm hospital beds.
Good analogy.
The healthcare system.
A little too soon with the toilet paper situation we're in.
Well, it works. If you all go at once, so toilet you, paper Trent. Will be gone, right? So, but it's like, how do we go out without infecting others? So one that we came up with, we go on walks at abandoned college campuses.
Oh, interesting.
So some of them are very pristine. They have manicured grounds. They have like open green areas where you can like play soccer. Yeah. And there's nobody there.
Yeah.
So the trick is to find those places. And you could probably do it even at high schools that aren't locked in necessarily. Or if you want to go play at a sports field or something. I mean, like, I'm not going to go to the community park because that has always been a germ pool.
Right. And again, that's something, surfaces that have been touched by kids that...
I mean, that's just whenever, like...
Even flu season, I try to avoid those places.
The park. Yeah. Yes. It's when you have kids. It's when you, like, trying to survive this pandemic with children is like playing a video game version of this on extreme mode. Because, like, you go out with your kids, you're like, it'll be fine. And children, especially toddlers, oblivious to everything. I'm going to touch everything and hug everyone. Like,
I don't know what that is. I'm going to lick it.
Yeah, but you try to explain germs to them, and it's just such an abstract concept. Like, if I can't see it, it's not real.
Right. And I think people, because what you just said, like people say maybe everyone's going to have to get this at some point. Because I did. I Googled like, how does this thing end? Like, how does it end? Because even if just one person has it, it could start all over again. But you're kind of right. Like just learning, like the problem with this virus is that it's not like Ebola. Like Ebola, people get it and immediately they're like in bed. They're down.
Right.
So they're not going out to bars. They're not going out, hang out with friends.
Ebola is deadlier, but it's not as transmissible.
And yeah, so
transmittable.
You could have it for a couple of weeks and be infecting everybody and you don't know because you're not having symptoms. So that's kind of the thing about this. And that's why the social distancing makes sense. And you know that the more infectious diseases, they hang in the air for longer periods of time. Whereas this, that's why the whole 6 feet thing, they're like, this thing could go in the air and it drops around 6 feet, the, you know, your, when you like talk and you're talking and stuff.
Right.
Whereas other, there's other like measles or highly infectious, like that stuff will hang in the air for a long time.
Totally.
So I think it's just kind of learning, again, when you're on social media and you're just like clicking articles all the time, you're learning like, okay, this is why we're doing this. It's not because, yeah, it's not like Ebola, but it's, the problem is I could have it and not know for 2 weeks. And every time I go out,
right,
you know, that, so it, a lot of people have been thinking, well, like, I'm not going to get it. It's like, yeah, but you don't know how many people you could be giving it to. So it's really changing that whole mindset, yeah, of, it's not, a, you know, oh, well, I'm not going to get it. It's like, well, no, but you need to think that maybe you do have it.
And especially people who are vulnerable, immunocompromised, the elderly. And I'll tell you one thing I've really don't like hearing is when people say, well, it just affects the elderly. As if, right, like, the elderly, quote unquote, are like this group of people we don't have to care about.
Right.
And it makes me think that, especially as Christians, we think about the Ten Commandments. You know, we think about the commandment to honor your father and mother. What's funny is sometimes when we think of that commandment, we think of it as primarily applying to children, like little kids, like 6 and 7 year olds doing what people our age tell them. And while it does apply to them, of course, all the commandments apply in a certain form when someone reaches the age of reason. Like, thou shalt not murder applies, don't punch your brother in the head, you know, a variant of it. But think about it, the Ten Commandments were not written for children. They were written for adults. You know, don't commit adultery, don't commit murder. Mm. So honor your father and mother, it was primarily aimed at people our age, honoring our elderly parents. That was the primary concern.
Yeah.
And so when we just have this kind of attitude, like, oh, it's just the elderly, I feel like it's an offense against that commandment to not take it that seriously.
And those of us who are in this, and that's why you see, like, even on Twitter, like a lot of the Gen Xers who have elderly, like my parents. So I'm, Bobby and I and you, Trent, we're like right at the, we're right kind of between the Gen X and millennial. So
we're,
there are ways.
We're the Millexians.
Yeah, there's ways that I don't feel like a millennial because we didn't, I didn't have a phone till college.
1984.
You know,
yeah, are you older than Bobby or younger?
Oh, I'm the cougar. I'm the 9 months older than Bobby. yeah. So okay. I was 83.
Yeah, we were born in that space of time where we could grow up without phones. But then we were, you know, late high school, college when they came out. So we could adapt to technology.
Well, you're almost there because I like to divide it. I feel like millennials are people, especially if 9/11 happened when you were in high school.
Yeah.
I feel like that. And that would be us here right now. We were in high school when that happened. We remember when high-speed internet came.
Yep.
So, like, if you can't remember September 11th, you're Gen Z. But if you were already full-fledged adult when it happened, then you're an extra. But you're right. We're right on the middle. So yeah, we've got, like, parents who are entering into that,
well,
that
my
age bracket.
I have my older siblings are Gen Xers.
Yeah.
So I have older parents. So my parents, so, you know, someone was saying it's for those of us who have elderly parents and we have kids.
Right. It's like two things pulling at us for our
we're,
attention.
We're worrying about, and I'm 8 months pregnant. So I'm also thinking like, okay, you know, I've got my parents to worry about, my kids, and you know, kids aren't as affected by this, but and then I have my 8 month pregnant body that I'm thinking. So it's again, you're as a Christian, it's like, okay, we're trying not to panic. And every time I go and preach anyways, I'm like, y'all, listen, life is short. Memento mori. You know, like Bobby and I could, again, I every time I go somewhere, I'm like, I could die in a plane crash on this way here. So I'm not afraid of death. But you're right. Like I'm ready to see Jesus face to face. I try to love God, my neighbor, myself as much as I can every day. But it's kind of the panic of other people that is freaking me out, you know?
Is that affecting you in a similar way?
Really only when I've gone out shopping. But again, it's that, like, if this life is all you think is, if your physical health is the end all be all, then yeah, hoard and, you know, bat down the hatches and all this. And for the Christian, it's not a call to be reckless, but it's a call to, like, you know, now's the time to serve. And now's the time to think of other people and witness to, like, you know, plagues come and go. And the church has been through a whole lot. And, you know, this is when saints are made. And,
well, yeah, and I know a family who, you know, parted with the diapers that they were stockpiling to someone who's going to give birth here in a month. And so that family, you know, I was talking to them and they said it was, you know, it was really hard to do, but because it was hard, that's more of a reason that I know God would want me to do that.
Absolutely. And I would say this thing, the situation we're into flies in the face of what we usually do as humans and what we need to do in terms of like when a tragedy hits or a difficult time. We want to go to church. We want to be in community. We want human touch. And we're told, don't go to church, and you may not be able to anymore anyway. Don't be in community. Stay physically apart and don't be touching people. It flies in the face of what comforts us, really what we're made for as humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that this gives us an opportunity to really reinvigorate our faith. Because you always say like, oh, you know, we trust in God, we trust in God. But then it's like, I trust in God and Target. But then it's like when Target's not there, it's like, what am I going to do? Target was always in parentheses right after God. And then like, it's like, no, wait, I really do trust in him. And I, for me, just the biggest thing, and I think any parent can relate to this, is the sense, like almost like a sense of guilt. It's like, I'm the parent, my children should always be provided for. And so you get that anxiety, like when you go to the store and you're like, you know, you know, Bobby, imagine you walk in there. It's like this primal feeling like, I'm the man. I'm going to kill this saber-toothed tiger, i.e. I'm going to get the frozen chicken strips in the freezer. And if they're not there, it's like I failed on the hunt, you know?
But it's a weird thing, too, of like the thing I wanted isn't there. I feel like I should grab something else just because it's weird how it affects you.
Yeah. So but that's why I think if we have faith in God, no, God will provide for us. And he's provided for Christians in vastly worse situations than this. Vastly worse situations. Like if you think about the plague of the 14th century, there were people from the bubonic plague versions of it that they would be fine in the morning and they'd be dead in the street in the afternoon. Like it was just madness. And especially Christians living in impoverished ways today. So maybe this is just a taste for us in the modern world of how to make these kind of sacrifices to help others. And you're right. I'm especially feeling for people who are going to be feeling the financial crunch. I know for me and you as public speakers, you're still teaching, Bobby. Thankfully, you can still teach online. But as speakers, our events are done. I'm not speaking for the next 3 months.
Yeah. And Bobby and I, because of maternity leave, I was planning on taking maternity leave all of April because I'm due at the end of April, all of April, all of May, all of June. So we had saved up. Because, you know, no one pays you when you're self-employed. You have to save. And so we had saved up for those 3 months. And my events in March got canceled, too. So I was like, ooh, you know. But I'm thinking, this goes past till July and this goes past to August. I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right, God, you're going to provide. We'll figure out.
Yeah.
I've had some friends get really creative, like, hey, well, let's write a book. Let's do an online conference. And people can donate if they want. But I think about my friends who are like the sole provider of their families and their speakers and everything is canceled.
Yeah.
Because at least Bobby and I, our income, you know, it's like half and half and he still teaches. But yeah, I think about all of my friends who are the sole provider of their family.
It's an unprecedented thing for people in the Catholic speaking community because it's understandable sometimes a blizzard will cancel a conference you have somewhere.
Right.
Where you'll get even a region of events might get canceled because of something. But I've never known for speakers where every event in the country and world is now done and you can't do that anymore.
And you don't know how long kind of the thing that is a little like, oh gosh. Yeah. And you still have a mortgage to pay. You still have kids to feed. You still have all these things, health insurance and all that stuff.
And we have parents in the school community I work at who work in the airline industry or they own a restaurant or they're just like, the government's like, you're not allowed to open. It's like, well... So the long-term effects of are these families going to be able to afford Catholic education come next year?
Yeah. And that's where we all are just going to have to be creative both in helping each other out and in finding ways to pursue these mutual goals that we have. So let's talk then to round things out here to a close about living life under lockdown, especially because we talked about our faith as giving us nourishment and sustenance during this time. But that's hard when basically where it's going to go, at least for the next few weeks, if not longer, we won't be able to go to Mass. Mass won't be celebrated. Some churches are still offering adoration, but some of them are even canceling like confession. And how have you guys been coping with the idea that just like church is closed, basically?
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm so glad that so many priests are live streaming Mass.
Yeah.
I'm really glad. Again, these are ways of being innovative. And then there was another priest doing like drive-through confessions.
Yes, I saw that on Church Pop.
Yeah, he was like 6 feet away. He's like, okay, one person in a car, you know, you're keeping your distance and you're going to confession. So it's like finding out these ways to be creative. Mm-hmm. So for us, I love that even daily mass is being live streamed now. It's really strange.
Well, we have a 6 p.m. prayer time for our family where we'll do the Divine Mercy Chaplet or the Rosary. And with toddlers, it's just it's chaos. But
they just run around while Bobby and I try to pray. They're like, Hail Mary. You know, some of them aren't praying and then some of them are screaming.
The redhead is doing a suplex in the middle of Divine Mercy Chaplet. And
well, what I've noticed with my boys who are 5 and soon to be 3, what is helpful? Well, I think with 2 and 3 year olds, there's this book series that Laura's purchased. I forget the author, but it says your 2 year old, your 4 year old, your 3 year old. It's written a while ago, and it summarizes what they are, like their personality. So your 4 year old, wild and wonderful. Your 3 year old is friend or enemy. And so, let's see, 2 year old, your 2 year old is terrible or tender.
In both. Our 2 year old is terrible and tender.
Depending on the minute.
Yeah. Depending on the minute. So we have a 5 and a half, a 4 year old and a 2 year old. And
You know, what's interesting, Trent, is that they're also going to be oblivious to this.
Yeah, I know.
The little ones. Yeah.
The little ones are just like, remember. The little ones like, oh, dad's home again.
Right.
You know,
our kid thinks it's Saturday now every day.
We can't keep track. Laura was saying, is it really Wednesday? I'm like, I don't know what day it is anymore.
Well, they're like, it's like a perpetually long weekend for these kids because Bobby's home. Like,
right.
Oh, it's Saturday again? I'm like, no, we have to.
It's like children can't read calendars. They just measure it based on when parents are home.
I know.
That's their internal clock.
Yeah. So for some people, I think some people have resorted to schedules because that helps the mind.
Yeah.
You know, just like, oh my gosh, okay. Because again, even for me who is... I am home all the time. Now that there's like this, like, I don't know if I'll be traveling again for the next, like, yeah. I don't know. So it seems like there's no end in sight. I feel like I'm the kind of person that I'm going to have a schedule. So
yeah. For
me, even during Lent, and I was, you know, some priests were like, listen, your Lenten things now because of this whole thing might have to be relaxed depending on what you were doing.
Right.
We're all giving up more than we expected for Lent
right.
here.
Yeah.
So for me, prioritizing, like, okay, I'm going to read scripture in the mornings. And now that daily mass is being streamed, I'm like, you know what? I should probably, that'd be awesome to stream it as well.
Yeah, to stream it and to let the kids be a part. And I've noticed, like, for the prayer activities, I was going to say with my kids, especially the 3 year old can be, you know, friend or enemy, but the 5 year old book, oh, these books are by Louise Bates Ames. Your 5 year old, Sunny and Serene. So with my 5 year old, like, I give him a task during prayer time. Like, I think if you give kids something to do, then if they feel like they have nothing to do, they have no reason to behave. And so if you give them something to do, it's like, oh, this is my job. And so his job is to hold up the icon over his head while we're praying. He's like, I can hold this up pretty high. Look at this right here. But then it gives that sense of purpose involved. So maybe, like, if you're doing mass at home, live streamed, well, I mean, you're not celebrating mass, but the general instruction of the Roman Missal is pretty lax about, you know, well, I think I can let my 5 year old, quote unquote, serve in this way during the mass and get more involved.
Our 5 year old, actually, we had a friend.
Oh, this is great.
We had a priest friend over saying mass, celebrating mass at our house.
Yeah.
And this was months ago. But...
And he around the dinner table, and we're kneeling for the consecration, he raises the host, and our 5 year old goes, dling.
She vocally does the bells.
And you see this moment, and then Father's shoulders start shaking. And I just start laughing. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And she leans over. She's like, Daddy, I did the bells. And I'm like, I know. And you know, you're embarrassed, but also supremely proud. They knew when the bells were supposed to be.
Yeah, they want to help. Like, hey, we got no bells here. Gotta get the bells going.
And she did it again for the cup. And I just am like, good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I love it. And so I think now during this time, it's just, we have to look at, and it's almost providential to me. And who knows? I think we need to pray for this to end as soon as possible. What I'm praying for is that the obligation, you know, the bans on, which are now a lot of times these churches are suspending mass because the state has said nobody can gather
more than
like 25 people or 20 people.
Well, in our county, Orange County said no public or private gatherings at all.
Yeah.
Until March 31st, and at least till then. And so it's like, oh, okay. So again, being creative, and I think I'm really loving that people are being creative with how do we connect when we're isolated. So I love that, like, Coldplay and John Legend, they did, like, free concerts on Instagram Live to let people in. You're like, okay, we're going to do a concert. I have other friends, like, leading praise and worship on Instagram Live to let people kind of, again, feel like they're there. People are doing Bible studies on Zoom.
It takes situations like this to really kind of wake you up and realize how important community is, how important the sacraments are, to not take it for granted.
Totally. And so that's why I was thinking that it's providential this happened during Lent. And if it ends before Holy Week, then it's like we were all basically sent into the desert for the end. Like, we were literally like, you want to go to the desert for Lent? Here you go right now. I'm like, oh, I guess this is just kind of what it's like. Oh.
And I would say to married couples out there, if you have single friends, to really be really intentional about reaching out to them, communicating with them, you know, Skyping with them. Like, I told my friend, I'm like, hey, I'm willing to start words with friends again so that we can constantly be in, because again,
And she destroys people.
Wait, what's words with friends?
It's like Scrabble, but like online. And oh, okay. Bobby had to stop playing with me.
It almost really ruined our marriage.
No,
so we had to stop this game. But
Look, I'm able to get 25 points with what? Divorce. Oh, yeah. Those V's really help.
Oh, my God.
So, but I mean, we have, again, built in touch. And if you have children, you can wrestle. You have the human interaction.
Yeah.
But again, if you're single, if you're, you know, in that situation where it's like, how am I going to avoid temptation?
You're feeling
now,
really isolated.
All I have is the internet.
Yeah.
You know? So I would say to any married couples listening or married people listening to really just think about your single friends. And I just found out yesterday that you can watch Netflix together and have a chat. Yeah, someone was saying on Chrome, there's like an extension. It's called Netflix something, where you can like have a party, and you can watch the same movie or whatever TV show, and they have like a chat on the side. I was like, I did not know that existed. So again, for my friends,
it's called Netflix Party.
Yeah, Netflix Party.
Yeah, so chrome.google, you just search Netflix Party, Google Chrome. It's an extension, so you watch the same thing together, and then you can chat with one another.
Yeah, so again, to have this, we have to be creative, because when it comes to these times that maybe we are a little more panicked, we want to be with people.
Yeah.
But when we're told that we can't be with our friends, we have to find creative ways. And so even a friend of mine, she's creating this like online conference where it's free, and she asked a bunch of speakers like, hey, could I send out daily videos, and people can donate if they want. But again, creative ways to bring people together, to give people hope that when everyone else is feeling this panic and this isolation, we're learning how to do this. We're all in this together. Sorry, I'm bringing out my High School Musical 1, 2, or 3.
Well, you are a professional singer, so I'm not going to try to join in. It would sound like Peter Brady trying to join in together.
You know, so to be creative about how on social media we get together and you know, we help each other out through this and give each other encouragement and hope in a time that seems a little bleak.
Yeah, and I would temper it also with like, people are dying. Like, they really are. Like, I think it's easy to focus on how am I inconvenienced and things that I can't do or.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are people.
Especially in Italy, thousands of cases.
Legit.
And it could be like that here. So in the modern age, it's funny. We have so much, but one thing that gets taken away from us is time. Because we have so much, it feels like we never have enough time to do anything. And now this disaster has kind of given us all time back, and we can use it for spending time with people, but also spending time like in prayer for those who are sick, for the repose of the souls of those who have died. And even spending time, I've seen, for evangelism, people having conversations now with friends and with family members who have been far away from the faith, who are facing their own mortality, and they're willing to have those conversations again. And that's that is a blessing in the midst of these trials for us to consider. So keep all that together. Keep us in your prayers. We'll keep you all in our prayers. Just a heads up, everyone, before we officially close everything out. The next few episodes that will air, I think next week we have an episode on the perpetual virginity of Mary. Tomorrow should be a nice, lighthearted free-for-all Friday. So on the podcast, I do free-for-all Friday. And that's a whatever. You never know what topic you'll get. I'm pretty sure tomorrow's episode, I am like 90% sure, is how to talk to babies. So it's about cognitive psychology involving children. So we have a lot of episodes coming up, but just know I recorded them before I went to Australia. So that's why the tone may be a tad different.
Lighter.
The tone is lighter because they were recorded pre-pandemic.
Yeah. This guy is so disrespectful.
What is this guy? Why are you talking about talking to babies? There's a pandemic happening. So this throws you know that the next... In fact, I was going to have an interview with my good friend David Bates, the co-host of Pints with Jack, on C.S. Lewis. I'm going to move that to Easter week. I just felt it was important to talk about this now. So for our listeners, just so you know, the next... 3 weeks, next 3 to 4 weeks, you know, we'll have great content, but it was pre-recorded, so I'm probably not going to mention the pandemic. And maybe that's good to keep it off people's minds a little bit. Guys, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I would stay hopeful and remember that, like, always our goal is heaven.
Yeah.
You know, our goal is heaven. Our goal is to be with Jesus in heaven. So no matter, again, we're not guaranteed 90 years on earth. I would say that, and that brings hope. That brings hope that there's such beauty in what we were made for, right. That our purpose really is to be with God in heaven. And so to not fear. And yeah, and if you are feeling that anxiety or fear, to step away from social media, to step away and to find out other ways to connect with people.
There's so many good apostolates right now between Catholic Answers. Ascension.
Word on Fire is doing daily mass, I think.
Like, we can use the internet for bad things. We can also use it for really holy things. Mm-hmm. So use, again, the time we have. Because now, again, if I've been putting something off, like writing a book or being creative in some way, now it's like, now I'm quarantined. So I got all this time. And turn the ache, turn the restlessness to prayer to let God meet you in that.
And where can people learn about more of your resources? Because I know you have videos on Ascension people can watch while they're quarantined and other great resources. So where can people learn more about your ministries?
So we're still coming out with weekly videos.
On YouTube, if you go to just YouTube, Ascension Presents.
And Jackie and Bobby. So weekly Tuesdays, our stuff comes out. We also have a couple books out. So you Pray, Decide, and Don't Worry is one of them. You can do this.
Hey, perfect.
Hey,
look at that.
During this time of discernment, you know, this time of quarantine, you can learn how to discern. So we have a book about discernment. And if you are quarantined with your spouse, we have a book called Forever, a Catholic Devotional for Your Marriage. Mm. So you can actually learn how to, like, talk to each other again, you know.
hey, there's this woman on the couch next to me.
Like,
she's been here this whole time.
I'm gonna type something to her on Netflix Party and see what she's thinking.
So yeah, and JackieandBobby.com is our website.
Okay,
but we're on social. I'm on Twitter, Jackie Francois, and then we're both on Instagram. What yours is? Is it Bob Angel or Bobby Angel?
Bobby.Angel. I can only handle one social platform at a time.
I've not been able to brave Instagram yet. I think I have a blank Instagram page that may be filled up at some point, but. For now, we got a lot on our plates.
Thank you for having us, Trent. Please stay 8 feet from me at all times.
We will bow our way out of this.
I love it because every time I bow, I want to say, you know, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Thank you for coming in today. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoy this. Be sure to go visit Jackie and Bobby's website, jackieandbobby.com. Thank you guys, and I hope you all have a very blessed day.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.